One minute you're feeling just fine, and then your throat begins to get a little sore. And then your throat begins to feel sore even when you're swallowing. And not swallowing, your face begins to feel a little hot. And there's a pressure behind your eyes. And then your energy just kind of falls off the cliff. You're getting sick. You know it. You feel it. You dread it. You hate it. But this too shall pass. Unless it doesn't. That fatigue just doesn't want to lift. Your body doesn't want to do anything. And now your joints are getting sore. All over your body. You feel rotten all over. And that goes on for weeks. And then months. And then you notice some scaly spots are coming up on your skin. And they don't want to go away. And you wonder, somehow, could this be related to how I'm feeling? The doctors aren't quite sure. They just try to make you feel better by treating the symptoms until they pass. Unless they don't. Now you're losing feeling in your fingers and your hands. You reach for something in a fire and you can't feel it, so you put your hand right in the fire and your skin burns and it becomes infected. And you step on something and you cut your foot and another infection steps in, and then your voice begins to get raspy and you can't control your voice. And then these growths start coming in on your vocal cords and you're not getting any better. In fact, you're getting worse. And this goes on for months and months and months. And then some lumps start appearing on your body. And you discover that these lumps are filled with pus. And then the stench starts coming from you that makes you absolutely putrid. And no one can stand near you. Oh my God, you have leprosy. Leprosy. You are desperate. You don't know what you're going to do. You're ostracized by everybody. Nobody wants to come near you. And you've just heard about a huge crowd of people at the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. And they've surrounded this man who's just come down from the mountain. And he's been preaching. He's been healing people. And you're thinking, if only I could get to that man. But you're not welcome there. You're not welcome to come close to anybody. But you dare to do it anyway. And you then realize standing right in front of you is Jesus. And you kneel and you look at him and you say, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he reaches out his hand and he touches you and he says, I am willing. You are clean. That is the description of the first healing ministry of Jesus in the Bible. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, immediately following the Sermon on the Mount. And what's remarkable about this story is not just that Jesus healed the leper, but that Jesus touched him. This was, at that time, the most hideous, repulsive, progressive form of dying that you could have. You were pronounced unclean, unclean. No one wanted to be near that person. He was untouchable. The biblical historian Josephus wrote that the lepers were treated, quote, as if they were, in effect, dead men, end quote. The Levitical law, chapter 13, said that the leper was to live alone outside the camp. Even in an open area, no one would even greet a leper. There was a complete separation between people. In fact, Arla and I would have to stay 6 feet apart if one of us had leprosy. We couldn't reach one another. And if the wind were blowing from the leper towards another person, you had to be 150 feet away. What about the religious leaders of the day? One rabbi wrote that he would not even buy an egg in the street if a leper had walked by. And another rabbi boasted that when he saw a leper, he would fling the first stone. There was no known cure for the disease, and it was the most dreaded disease of its day. So any Jewish reader who was reading from Matthew 8 would have been absolutely amazed at what he was reading. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. We're on the third Sunday of Lent. The first Sunday of Lent was the test of Jesus. Last week was the trust of Jesus. And this week is the touch of Jesus. The leper came to Jesus with confidence. He didn't come to the religious leaders because he knew that if he came to the religious leaders, they would throw stones at him. Instead, he came to Jesus because in Jesus he saw something different than he saw in the religious community. The leper also came to Jesus in humility. We're told that he knelt before Jesus. And in fact, the original language in Greek says that he worshiped Jesus on his knees. He also came to Jesus with reverence. He didn't demand anything from Jesus. He came to him in humility. When you come to Jesus Christ, you need to come to him with confidence. You need to come to him with reverence. You need to come to him in humility. Now, what did Jesus give to the leper? He gave him a physical touch, of course, and he healed the leprosy, but he gave him even more because he also changed that person emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. When you and I go to the doctor and we're sick, if you go to a good doctor, it doesn't matter how vile your disease is. It doesn't matter how you smell. It doesn't matter how putrid you may be. The good doctor is going to try to help you become physically well, and hopefully emotionally well, and hopefully mentally well. But Jesus goes further. He makes you spiritually well as well. Hallelujah. The whole person. The whole being. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure you can easily see the analogy of this story of the leper and Jesus and you and I and Jesus. He was dying a slow, awful, painful death caused by bacteria. You and I are dying a slow, awful, painful death caused by sin. We need the intimate touch of Jesus. We need it. Jesus touched the deaf and he gave them hearing. Matthew Henry said, "There are none so deaf as those who will not hear." You know, we come together every Lord's Day, and one of the reasons we come in here is to hear his word, but there are those who will not hear. There is nothing so tragic as someone who will not hear. They don't consider themselves deaf, but they will not listen to the words of Jesus. Do you need Jesus to touch your ears? Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Jesus touched the blind and he gave them sight. We sing, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Hallelujah. And it's not talking about your eyesight, it's talking about your insight. Your insight, you see the Lord. You perceive God because he's revealed himself to you. Do you need Jesus to touch your eyes? Open my eyes, Lord. Why? I want to see Jesus. Jesus touched the dead and they came to life. Are you alive in Christ? Or are you a dead man walking? Think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave to you everlasting life. Do you need Jesus to resurrect you? He can do that. Jesus even touched the servant of the high priest when his ear was cut off in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus even touched his enemies. Do you consider yourself a friend of Jesus? Hallelujah. If you do not consider yourself a friend of Jesus, that makes you an enemy of Jesus. And Jesus loves even his enemies. He loves even you. The touch of Jesus makes you a free woman, a free man. Hallelujah. Yeah, Harry, I know all about that. I've heard that for years and years and years. I've been going to church. I've been going to Sunday school, Bible study. I don't need to hear that anymore. But perhaps you have not considered this. Sometimes it is you who needs to touch Jesus. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 20. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Matthew 14, verse 35. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Mark chapter 3, verse 10, those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Luke 6, 19, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and heal them all. Brothers and sisters, are any of you sick? You need to touch Jesus. You may not be physically sick right now, praise God, but you have a grotesque, hideous sickness that separates you from the purity of God, and you need to reach out and touch Jesus for healing. You need to touch Jesus. William Cowper wrote this poem in the 18th century. To me, it reads as if he wrote it today. For us, listen. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Savior, we are such. Our faith is feeble, we confess. We faintly trust thy word. But wilt thou pity us the less? Be that far from thee, Lord. Remember him who once applied with trembling for relief. Lord, I believe, with tears he cried. Oh, help my unbelief. She, too, who touched thee in the press and healing virtue stole, was answered, daughter, go in peace. Thy faith has made thee whole. Like her, with hopes and fears we come to touch thee if we may. Oh, send us not despairing home. Send none unhealed away. What a tragedy it would be today if any person leaves this room without having touched Jesus Christ. He's here. He promised to be here. We're just two. Or three, gathered in his name, he's here. Touch him. Touch him. And receive his touch. And of course, it's not just a physical touch we're talking about. It could be the breath of God, the Holy Spirit blowing over your life and anointing you in a whole new way. It could be your tears of love flowing at His feet in worship, touching Him. Touch Him. You may know this poem. It's fairly famous. It's one of my favorites. I'm in a poetry mood today. I don't know why. Listen. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1? $2? Do I hear two? $2, make it three. $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? $2,000? Do I hear two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, but one of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." That beautiful poem has been around for 93 years. It was long declared to be written by an anonymous author, but a few years ago, someone read it on a platform at an international convention, and at the end of reading it said, "Author unknown." And at that moment, not a gray-haired man, but a young man stood up in the back of the room by the name of Dwight Welch. And he stood in front of the audience and he said, "No, that poem has an author, and it's time for the world to know who she was. Her name was Myra Brooks Welch, and she was my mother." Myra had written that poem in 1921 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and without putting her name on it. She came to church one morning and she gave it to her pastor, and she said, "Would you consider printing this in the church bulletin?" Which he did. And the people loved it, this anonymous poem, and they started sharing it with other people. And pretty soon it spread around the country, and then it spread throughout the world. But from that day, when her son stood there and said, "My mother wrote this poem," her name became known all over the world, and she was discovered as having written other poems. In fact, three volumes of Christian poems. She became known as the poet with the singing soul. She died in 1959 at the age of 82, and she is buried in Los Angeles, California. And this is Myra's story. She grew up in a very musical family. Music was in her blood. It was her first love. And she loved most to play the organ. But severe arthritis took over her body. And she ended up in a wheelchair for 20 years. And her ability to play the organ therefore vanished forever. But instead of withering in defeat, she expressed her singing soul through her poetry. And this is how she did it. Sitting in her wheelchair, she picked up one pencil in one hand and another pencil in the other hand, but not to write with them. Using the eraser ends, she typed the words of all of her three volumes of poems. And each word that she typed was a joyful expression of the wonders of the life that she enjoyed in Jesus Christ. One day, a friend was visiting her, and as the friend was about to leave, Myra Welch patted the arms of her wheelchair, and she said, "I thank God for this." Imagine thanking God for a wheelchair. But her testimony was that instead of becoming bitter, her handicap made her better. Her love for God ministered to hurting souls throughout the world. Why? Because she had been touched by the Master's hand. Brothers and sisters, if you have been touched by the Master's hand, it's because he wants you to be his hand and touch somebody else. Let's pray. Lord, you have given everything, and you have asked us to give. I pray that you will teach us, Lord, to be your hands. Inspire us to be your hands. Remind us and convict us to be your hands, that we can reach out and touch those who do not know Christ, those who do, who need love and reassurance and friendship and care. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. May we be your servants, Master. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.